Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Richard DeKayser is our guest. Richard's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with National City Bank, and Richard is here to help us conduct our FedWatch show. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. As always, thank you very much for being part of our day and for all the support that you give us over the, have given us over the years. Richard, this is our FedWatch show, and we're going to talk, among other things, about what the Fed's going to do today.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I want you to you've been working really hard. And folks, when I talk to you about the really high quality economists that we have in our brain trust, obviously Richard is on the top of our list. And Richard, you've been working on some quite a bit of research lately, within the last two or three weeks or so, to really study the overall impact of Katrina on not only on that region but on the overall economy, haven't you?
Well, that's right, Jim. You know, these things come out of the blue, and you know that they're going to be huge in terms of their significance, but it really forces one to scramble to try and assess the impact, and you look in all kinds of arcane places of information, places like the International Energy Administration, Department of Energy, to piece things together as best you can and then feed it into your models to see how it affects the economy.
Mm-hmm. Now, I, in my own dangerous amateur way, Richard, within a few days after Katrina, when we saw the impact, the devastation, by the time the levees broke and everything, I predicted, as I said, in my dangerous amateur way, that this would have at least a half a point, would take at least a half a point off of our GDP for this year, just between September and the end of December, that it would cost us a half a point. What do you think?
Well, it drives me crazy when I spend all this hard time working to come up with good estimates, and someone like you just whips it off at the viscerally. But yeah, I think you're right, Jim.
Wait a minute, Richard. Does it make you mad that I did it or that I was right? Which part of that do you not like?
Well, both. I mean, if you were wrong, I'd find some comfort in that.
Right.
But I think that's about right. And you know, the two big impacts. Number one. Simply all the suspension of economic activity, all the people who are without electricity, out of work, aren't shopping and producing the way they typically would. Number two is why are
they not doing that? Because they're getting numbed by the coverage, and also they're also dipping into their pockets to help out.
Well, no, I'm talking about people who, you know, can't get to work.
You're talking about the people in that region.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the affected region accounts for somewhere north of 0.5% of GDP. And when you've seen all those photographs of floodwaters in New Orleans, that's businesses that aren't doing what they otherwise would do.
That's right. That's right.
But on top of all that, we've got the energy price impact. You know, there has been a very legitimate supply shock, principally due to refinery capacity outages, and that's why we're seeing gasoline in the vicinity of $3 a gallon, and that's why consumers are going to have less to spend on all other things. So those two things together really account for the bulk of the reduction in near-term growth. But as we look to next year, you know, the cavalry is on the way. Spending at all levels of government, especially the federal level, appears to be extremely generous. So we're going to have programs, which I initially guessed to the tune of about $145 billion. And if anything, I'm looking modest, just talking about the federal component, not including the another 35 or 40
insurance. I keep hearing $200 billion.
Right, That's the number. Now, just to put that kind of a figure in perspective, in an economy the size of ours, we're talking close to 2% of GDP over
wow.
the course of the expenditure period, which is probably, practically speaking, 2006. So, you know, while this may sound kind of callous, in macroeconomic terms, we will make up most, if not all, of the lost economic activity that we lose in the balance of this year as 2006 plays out.
So you think 2005 is going to be, from a growth standpoint, from a robustness factor, 2005 is going to be artificially low and 2006 is going to be artificially high?
That's exactly correct.
Yeah. Very interesting. So basically, for everybody else in the economy, the people who aren't directly affected by the storm and by the aftermath and everything, we just need to button down and make sure that we don't overextend this year and to be able to take advantage of next year, but also not to get too carried away, because that might not mean that 2007, you can build on 2006 right into 2007. Because of the artificial nature of 2006.
That's right, and I think that's just the way to look at it. When we have, we all know that we've got very large federal budget deficits, and we know that we can't keep this up forever. We will sustain it for another year in 2006. But at some point, the bills will come due, and if nothing else, we need to reduce the amount of money that we're adding to the federal debt.
Where is that equalizer going to come from? How are we going to reconcile all this? Is that going to be less tax cuts, higher taxes, lower spending? Santa Claus going to bring us a present? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I think we're going to see, in all likelihood, and we're not talking about the very near term, but we're talking about further out, probably 2007, we're going to see some combination of spending restraint and tax increases. At the moment, some of these will actually happen automatically because there are a number of pre-existing tax cuts passed in the earlier part of this decade, which have sunset provisions, meaning that they go away.
Right.
Some in 2008 and some after that.
At least one in 2007. I think
right.
The direct expensing, the Section 179, goes away in 2007.
In 2008, the reduced tax rate on capital gains and dividends
gains,
goes
yep.
away. So what happens is Congress could just do nothing
mm-hmm.
and allow existing legislation to play out, and that would cause tax rates effectively to rise. Along these lines, there is this month scheduled to release the President's Commission on Tax Reform, which was appointed about a year ago and was tasked with the job of thinking big about a total reform of the tax system.
Mm-hmm.
And that could provide the political momentum for changing things and in the process on that, including some tax increase.
Well, if you're a supply sider like me, you don't want tax increases, and you like the tax cuts that we have because you believe that that's really been a big factor in getting our economy going again. But we'll see about that. 20 after, we'll be right back with our good friend Richard DeKayser. We're going to find out what he thinks the Fed's going to do today right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and don't forget to check out our blog there on at jimsblog.com or at the website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's with National City Bank. Richard, give us your website, please.
Sure. It's www.nationalcity.com, and from there you've got all kinds of tabs to choose from, but I'll tell you my favorite, /economics, and that'll get you to my various publications and forecasts.
Well, and your monthly forecast is there, isn't it?
It is, yes.
All the time. And I encourage you to check that out, folks. It's brief. It's to the point. It's in plain English. Even I can read. Even I understand what you write, Richard, so it must be pretty simple, and I appreciate that very much. Richard, let's get into some of your thoughts on what you think small business owners should do. Let's talk about this for a minute or two. Let's say for the next 4 months, what do you think we should be thinking about in terms of our overall budgets and where our business is going to go?
Well, first of all, let me say this. We talked about Katrina. We're likely to have Rita on its heels by not much. And together, the effects that we talked about just a second ago imply that we're heading for a soft patch. And when I say a soft patch, I mean a slowing of growth and not a decline. But the fourth quarter is going to be contaminated with a lot of the storm's effects.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be distracted by this, because we've had these in the past. There have been particular reasons for these soft patches over the years. But it'll give way to better conditions in 2006. So I think that we should try and read through the month-to-month numbers and think longer term when interpreting what's going on in the short run.
You predicted, you were the first one to predict over about a year and a half ago on this show that a lot of the, or to say that a lot of the price of oil, the increase in the price of oil was due to speculation. Do you still believe that? And if you do, do you think, how long do you think that's going to last?
No, I don't. There's actually ways of roughly measuring this, and it's still very high to be sure, but not as high as it was. What's going on now is not so much speculation as tremendous uncertainty. The so-called call on OPEC, which is about this $1.5 million barrels a day, rather, that they can bring onto line at the flip of a switch, is about half of what it was a few years ago, and it's gotten even more strained by these hurricanes. So what we're seeing in energy prices now is this tremendous uncertainty related to just whatever. Katrina was a whatever. There could be others out there, and if you get the bad luck of one or two of these in sequence, you're talking about something we haven't as yet experienced, which is a genuine shortage of crude oil.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's behind today's high prices, less than it was the case, say, a year or two ago.
Right.
Saw a lot of participants involved in speculation.
Very interesting. So therefore, I would have to assume from that you don't see a lot of chance of oil dropping down to under $50 a barrel, say, in 6 months or so.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable prospect, and it's so much
a reasonable prospect that it will or that it won't.
No, that it will happen.
It
wouldn't be my best case forecast, but I think it's in the realm of plausible outcomes. And what it's going to depend on are, you know, number one, does world growth slow some in response to the high energy prices we're seeing now? And we do see some evidence of that. And number two, do these new oil projects, including, for example, in Saudi Arabia alone, 75 new oil wells, get brought online quickly enough? But I still ascribe to the view that if you take a five-year view, the incremental addition to oil supply will exceed that of incremental demand and give us some relief from these very high prices.
I hope you're right about that, and I hope it comes soon. Okay, let's talk about the Fed. The FOMC is meeting today, Federal Open Market Committee, and in the past they've raised rates, what, 8 or 9 times in a row? And it's been 10 times, and it's been pretty predictable, pretty transparent. This time's a little bit different. Tell us about what you think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty relating to the outcome of this afternoon's Fed announcement. The overnight bank rate is at 3.5%. I think they're going to go another 25 basis
really?
Points, a quarter point to 3.75%. And let me just give you the issue. The Federal Reserve does not conduct monetary policy with an eye towards next month or next quarter. They're looking out in time a year or longer. And if that's the case, I believe that they are, and if they see the hurricanes impacts as I do, they're going to look through all this and continue on their course. Now, the other argument, which is
so very... could you then surmise from that, Richard, if you're correct, that if the Fed actually raises rates, maybe things aren't as bad as maybe we think they are?
I think that would be...
Saying?
That would be a signal that they would be sending. It would be a sense of confidence from the Federal Reserve in the economy's ability to weather the storm.
Okay.
But the other argument also is very legitimate, and it simply goes like this. Sure, the Fed's not looking at the next month or two, but the next year or two. But inflation is sufficiently under control that they have the liberty, the flexibility of just taking off one meeting and better assessing all the kinds of things that we're wondering about right now. How quickly does refinery capacity come back online? What
I mean, nobody would say, hey, you've had 10, take a break. Nobody wouldn't say that.
No, that's right. I think there'd be great sympathy for a pause. So, to tell you the truth, I think probably the members of the Open Market Committee who make these decisions are struggling with this dilemma themselves. Mm-hmm. But if you've got to put a wager on it, I would say the likelihood is another quarter point increase, and we'll hear about it at 2:15 this afternoon.
Absolutely. Hey, Richard, thank you for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure. Take care.
We'll see you next time. Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank. Quick break, right back with our good friend David Heenan, all the way from Hawaii, right after these messages. It's 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.